Portland's favorite morning roast.
Who was the second hottest golden girl? Oh, you want to rank the hot golden girls?
It's time for your sunrise guys.
If Blanche is number one.
Was she the first TV cougar?
Ooh.
Andy Dirk Johnson. Brandon Sprague.
You're going to say Estelle. You're going to surprise me, and I'm not going to judge you. Estelle seems like she was probably wild.
Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your Thursdays are off to a great start. We get game two of the Stanley Cup Final tonight. Excited for that. Raleigh, North Carolina on display again today. We'll give some thoughts on that as we wrap up. Blue Line Brandon's got to redeem himself from game one. So that's coming up in the last hour of the show. The mail sack, the magic hat, an hour from now as we get our submissions ready to go. There is one bit of magic hat audio that I thought about pulling, but the video is like 4 minutes long and I don't know how to do it. But a kid went viral with bird noises this week, and I'm trying to, we got to think of a way to incorporate that.
I'll pull a couple because there's a few, like, he's really good with all of them.
Remarkable video.
The funniest thing is, I'm pretty confident that I saw this like 9 to 10 months ago.
It's just now viraling.
Yeah, back up in the timeline, and you were watching it yesterday, and I said, dude, wait for his hawk. His hawk one is awesome.
This kid is the nerd of all birds, and it's phenomenal stuff. I don't know if anybody's ever become popular at their school for being a bird nerd until this guy came around. He might be the first cool bird nerd.
It's also kind of cool the school, at least at the assembly, we don't see anybody like making fun of him.
No.
They're like enjoying the show.
No, not at all. It's really fun. I want to stick in college football, though, in a slightly different angle. And it's interesting. So Indiana wins the national championship last year, and it's one of the most shocking Cinderella storylines that we've, like, just what? Indiana from being nothing and one of the worst programs our entire lives to, oh my God, they're the best program in the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And they win the national title last year, and a lot of spring publications have them at number one, and we'll see what it looks like in year three for Cignetti in Indiana. But there's no doubt that they've elevated themselves, and they're one of the best programs, it appears, in the sport right now. And it got me thinking, so I was looking through some like different college football rankings and where certain teams are coming in, post-spring stuff, recruiting class stuff. Have you taken a gander, and I feel like I know the answer to this, have you taken a gander at all at the 2027 recruiting rankings? Okay.
No, but I feel like I have a pretty good handle of them.
Do you want to guess the top 10? Now, this is early, right? Signing day is not till what? December, February.
I saw these, was it a week ago? Week and a half
ago? So you've seen it relatively recently?
Kind of, yeah. Is it A&M one?
A&M is number one. They are blowing everybody out of the water right now.
Is Miami two?
Miami is three.
Three. USC?
USC is eighth.
Eighth. Who is second? Ohio State?
No. Ohio State is not in the top 10. They are 11th currently.
Is Kentucky in there?
Kentucky. So this is going to get to the segment I wanted to do.
Cal's also been recruiting really well.
Cal's been recruiting great. Now, they're 21st,
yeah,
so they're not quite
in
that
10,
category
yeah.
yet, but 21st for Cal is like, that's pretty good.
I just read an article about how LaPoy and
he's doing a great job down there.
Rivera, yes. Yeah, it's their whole thing.
Look, there's never been a question about Tosh LaPoy's ability to recruit. That has never been a concern about him.
Yes.
The guy's relentless when it comes to that, and he will definitely do that at Cal. But the segment that I wanted to do was the idea of, and I'm not going to ask you to go like, who, like, can you actually be in Indiana and win a national title? That's a lofty, lofty thing. But the idea of, can you go from being where you are to being in a different conversation as one of the better programs in the sport, okay?
Certainly.
And the reason I'm asking this is there's a number of teams in the top 15 that you're like, wait a minute, what? So right now, the number four recruiting class, historically speaking, not a, huh? But recently, yeah, Florida is fourth currently with Summerall in his first full recruiting class. They are ahead of Notre Dame. They're ahead of Oregon. They're ahead of USC. They're ahead of Michigan, Ohio State, so on and so forth. Florida is fourth. By the way, Oklahoma was second if you were looking for number two.
Oklahoma
the Boomer Sooners, yeah. Number two on the list. Number seven in overall recruiting ranking for 2027 in college football, UCLA and Bob Chesney. They have a better recruiting class right now than you, according to overall commits. Now,
noted.
Rating per commit, a little bit different, right? That's a whole different conversation.
Watch
but right now,
the ruins.
In total, they are the seventh best recruiting class in the country.
Yeah.
I'm going to go a little bit further down the list because there's two more on here I'm going to throw at you. And one of them happens to be in the news because they just received a $75 million donation to the school, primarily going towards their athletic budget. Mm-hmm. Right now, the number 13 recruiting class in the country is Virginia Tech.
Okay.
And number 14 on the list is Will Stein at Kentucky. And it's just the idea
new coaches,
of
new places,
right? Seeing the boom, donors are feeling good because you haven't lost a game yet. All this, you know, the honeymoon phase is still there. Money's flowing. Recruits are following. And again, like to say, go be the next. Is UCLA going to be the next Indiana? I'm not going to do that. Is they going to win a title in 2 years, Bob Chesney? But just the idea of like, which one of these are we buying the most of not being a flash in the pan in recruiting and actually having. I guess the phrase I'm looking
for
is
jump?
The staying power of like we've gone from like UCLA largely my entire adult life has been irrelevant. Virginia Tech has not been relevant in a very long time. Yeah. Kentucky outside of, you know, the hefty lefty has been irrelevant my entire life. Florida's been down essentially since Urban Meyer left. I know, you know, they had a couple of good years here or there, but ultimately has not been the program that they were in a long time. Of which one are we buying that can jump into this conversation as, man, they're now different. Texas Tech has done this, right, in the last 2 years, going from, it's Texas Tech to, Texas Tech is recruiting at a high level.
I only have a lot of evidence of one guy doing it at the Power Four level of some of these, right? Like Will Stein, first-time head coach.
Offensive coordinator to head coach.
Bob Chesney. Yep. I actually am really big on UCLA. If you gave me futures to bet, I'd put Bob Chesney and UCLA in this. I think he's a phenomenal coach.
You're buying the UCLA stock, huh?
James Madison thing's trending really well in the sport, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Their last coach just won his first national championship. And I know I wasn't one that freaked out about the way they played against Oregon.
I would say for most, it was probably they exceeded expectations in that game.
I was going to say, I walked away just, hey, really impressive effort. Oregon didn't seem to really care. They didn't need to. They were up big, and you still scored points.
Right.
How is it not Franklin at Virginia Tech? I know Miami, even though they didn't win their conference, Dabo, I think Clemson's recruiting pretty well,
Clemson
right?
Clemson is 27? Sixth right now. They're right behind Notre Dame, Florida, Miami, Oklahoma,
like,
and A&M.
I understand why people would give them a benefit, but why would you not include Franklin? You can think Franklin won't win the big game, but Franklin had something going and established at Penn State. Why should I not pick him?
Yeah.
And also, are you a believer of it hasn't happened, so it can happen? Or are you a believer of, you know, if he ends up getting his Joe Burrow someday, all the other talent he accumulates
will work out.
That guy won't throw the Dylan Thienemann interception in overtime. He'll win the game, and their momentum will carry them the rest of the way. So, like, some of that was, to me, did he ever have the right quarterback? Now, that is his responsibility as the coach, but I never want to fully dismiss the idea of it. So, of the UCLAs, the Kentuckys, the UCLAs, like of those programs in this conversation, I would probably pick Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech is the stock you would buy the most.
Where is Penn State, by the way, in this?
Penn State is currently 12th, so they're seeing a nice little boom with Campbell in his first full recruiting class.
But that's not a boom for them. That's actually a drop, because when Franklin was at Penn State, weren't they regularly in the top eight?
That's the unique thing about Penn State. Let me go back. So I'll pull up 2025 and go backwards for Penn State. They finished 15th in 2025.
So not great there.
2024, I want to say that they were usually a mid-teen recruiter, and it goes kind of to your point, though. I'll just pull up 2024. So his last two full cycles, they were 15th in both of those classes. That's the unique thing, though, about Franklin. Like, Pate brings up this argument up all the time, is that he's not overrated. He's properly rated because he beats the teams that he's supposed to, and he loses the teams he's supposed to lose to. And when you look at a talent composite of their roster over the years at Penn State, they, on paper at least, were never, from a recruiting standpoint, the same as Ohio State or Michigan in the years under Harbaugh. Like, that, there was still a gap in terms of recruiting class that was getting brought in between those two programs in Penn State. And obviously, Oregon jumping into the Big Ten changed that and put another team into the conversation as being better than them and a higher recruiter than them. And so the argument was always, well, he couldn't squeeze that little bit more out of them, or he couldn't find a way to get the recruiting class to get to the Ohio State level. And that is a knock on him, sure, if you want. But I'm with you on the Virginia Tech argument, because when you look at the ACC right now, there is nobody outside of Miami that you would say, from a talent standpoint, you might not be able to catch. Like, there was that thought at Penn State of, like, will you ever out-recruit Ohio State on a yearly basis? No. You're in state college in the middle of nowhere. They have more money than you. They have more tradition than you. They're a bigger blue blood than you. Like, no, you're not catching Ohio State. Outside of Miami, who can Virginia Tech not catch in the ACC? To your point on Clemson, sure, the recruiting class looks good right now. They might fire Dabo if he doesn't go to a bowl game this year. Florida State, their fan never ate the poop, and they've been a dumpster fire ever since.
I don't have a lot of faith.
Right?
In
there's nothing. Duke is a fun little story, and then Darian Mensah transfers to Miami. So Manny Diaz, congrats on winning the conference. But
yep.
Virginia popped to win some games last year, but it's Virginia.
You didn't feel like you trusted him, really.
No, right. So that's the thing about him in the ACC now, is that it seems like it's a much more comfortable water for him to swim in, that he'll have an easier time climbing to the top of the conversation than he did in the Big Ten. And Penn State's a bigger job than Virginia Tech, historically speaking. But you don't have these giants in your way that you're never going to be able to out-recruit and outspend. Again, outside of Miami, Mario's got that thing humming now. They got to the title game. They've recruited at a high level every year he's been there. Mm-hmm. So he's established all of that, and that will be a tough one to dismount. But everybody else in that conference, dude, it's open for season, open for business.
How do you feel about UCLA with Chesney?
That's the hard part.
Yet, but
the hard part with them is the conference that they're in.
I get it, but like, let's not act like this. So, did you see the Eric Weddle comments?
No.
I know this is a sidebar, but
mm-mm.
So Eric Weddle, the former Utah Ute who is now retired from the NFL, he's doing the media rounds.
Yeah,
he came out just straight up on a podcast. He was at the Michigan spring game. He's Whittingham's guy, and he just came out and was like, Underwood sucks.
He was terrible.
The backup is going to play. This kid's not good. He's basically calling in the next Lagway.
Right.
And it's kind of like, whoa. Like, you didn't think somebody like for Kyle Whittingham, you think his guy would say that out loud. Mm-hmm. And he didn't hold back. He's just been pretty honest about it. If Underwood's not good and they got to go to that freshman, the freshman might be good, but I don't have an expectation that kid's going to lead him to 10-2.
Not right out of the gate.
You know,
no.
CJ Carr was good by the end of the year.
Michigan's got a brutal schedule,
but
too.
I don't know how good Michigan's going to be year one with Whittingham. I think Whittingham is a set the culture, hope to pop at the end. If we don't get over this hump, it's a 3-year see you later situation, and we move on to the next. So if I take Michigan out, who then fills the void? Do you buy USC? Are we ready to buy USC? Lincoln saying, oh, it's playoff time now. It's
their
year
window
five.
Is open.
Okay, but we haven't seen it. And I would argue you've kind of only regressed in your time at USC since you got there in year one, going to the Pac-12 championship game to where you're at now. So I'd put a big question mark more so than anything else.
It's a fair point.
You know, it's Oregon, it's Ohio State.
Right.
It's Indiana, and then who?
And then who?
I think there's a fourth and fifth. Maybe it's Washington. I don't know. DeMond Williams. They're getting some pub.
Minnesota. People, you know, maybe it's
you
Minnesota.
You buy Minnesota in a playoff level? I think that's the thing about
Iowa's been close, but do they ever have a functioning offense and a quarterback that could throw the ball?
I don't know if year one Chesney is ready for that leap. All I'm simply pointing out is I'm not going to act like the fourth, fifth spots in
it's
that conference
point.
In this expanded playoff era.
It's a fair point.
Isn't up for grabs with potentially the ability if you recruit really well. All you need to do is be sexy and fun to watch, and you start off 9-3 in year one, you're instantly going to get all the LA pub.
Oh, the extra recruiting classes will come. If you're on par record-wise with what USC does this year in year one.
I also don't think like
year five under Lincoln Riley.
We like to make fun of the fan base. I think some of it's not their fault because they play 45 minutes from their campus. I'm not going to pretend that I didn't watch packed Rose Bowl home games for UCLA.
Yeah, it's
and
happened.
I know like A&M crowd showed up, but like
LSU
Josh
crowd
Rosen,
up, yeah.
Yeah, but the place was still a ton of UCLA fans.
Yeah.
So when they're really good or when they're in contention, those fans show up, but when they're mediocre to bad, yeah, dude, it's an empty stadium.
To your point on Michigan, by the way, so they play Oklahoma in non-conference.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa's not a gimme. At Minnesota's not a gimme for them.
No.
Penn State at home, Indiana at home. Oh, maybe. Oregon on the road, Ohio State on the road, and UCLA mixed in there, by the way. They have two of their last three games are on the road in Oregon, on the road at Ohio State. That's a brutal schedule.
I think until
if they get bad quarterback play, that's going to be tough for you.
Until I see Cignetti fall to what you cite of 8-4 year, I'm kind of just going to put them in this. And so I think Oregon, Ohio State, Indiana, for the next handful of years for me, those are the auto threes. Now, does Michigan figure their ass out? Does USC have this going now? Is Matt Campbell at Penn State going to get it humming again and be where Franklin had it and maybe win the big game?
Him and Whittingham are very similar. Very good coaches. They got every ounce that they could get. It felt like out of their programs, and now they have more resources and a higher profile. Are they Mike Riley, or are they the guy that's going to like, okay, now that I got this, watch how far I can run?
And so I just think that fourth and fifth spot it's up for grabs in that conference, and who's going to take it? I don't know.
That's fair. It's a problem that's plagued the Big Ten for a long time. We all know, like, there's a good legitimate chance that the AP preseason poll, which doesn't mean a ton, has the top three teams in the country as Big Ten teams. Like Indiana, absolutely. Oregon, Ohio State could easily be in whatever order you want to put them in.
Yeah, Texas might
Texas,
creep
Texas, Georgia,
for
Notre Dame, like they're
I
not
think
the
I'd
only
be
ones.
I'd surprised
but,
if that wasn't. But also, Notre Dame is one that you kind of forget about when we talk about conference
I think I heard
stuff,
Patrick Reed yesterday. There was a Mandel post-spring piece, and he had Indiana 1, Oregon 2, and Ohio State 3. And there's a decent chance. But to your point, and this has, again, been the problem of the Big Ten for a long time in terms of depth, we know that they have national title contenders. They've won 3 in a row as a conference.
Yep.
Who's the 4th best team in the Big Ten this year? And it's in. You could throw 5 teams at me, and I'd say, all right, But if you also told me those 5 teams, instead of winning 10 games, won 7 games, I'd say, I could see that too. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the difficulty that the spot that they're in. It's unique to see kind of some fresh new faces, and it is a positive of the modern landscape of the sport in my mind of seeing right now in the top 15 recruiting classes. Again, we got 6 months to go until signing day.
Yeah.
Long ways away. Minnesota's in the top 15. Kentucky's in the top 15. Virginia Tech is in the top 15. UCLA is in the top 15. And I know historically speaking, Florida has always been solid and a good program. But
they could jump if Summerall could
right.
Get
like
that,
if
man.
You just if you can get that thing pointed, they're one of those like man. If you just figure it out, that's a ready to win situation. If you could just dial it in the right direction. But that's 5 quote unquote newcomers who are currently ranked inside the top 15. Of early recruiting classes, and it puts the sport in a unique spot. Wisconsin starting to recruit a little bit better. They just got a kid yesterday, and I'm with you. I'm with you.
I just don't buy him. I more look at like the new guys that are starting their careers. Like I don't know what LaPoy is in a game to game management situation.
Maybe it's Cal. Maybe they're one of these teams.
Dude, he's gonna recruit.
Yes.
Say what you want about him, whatever you think. We don't know what he is as a head coach. That guy's gonna get some dogs at Cal. And so we talk about the ACC. Well, why can't it be Franklin? Why can't it be Cal? Those teams have to go out to Cal, too, by the way. It's not just Cal.
Right, you've got to play a road game.
With travel, people got to go to Cal and play those road games. So.
Miami should have lost to him 2 years ago, and then they somehow blew that epic lead.
Don't they go to Cal or Stanford this year, Miami?
I think their first game of the year.
Yeah, I think they're out there.
I believe their opening game of the season is at Stanford.
Dude, that guy's bringing juice already. They haven't played a game. Like, at least they're going to come into that one with...
Yeah, Miami opens their season on the road at Stanford.
There you go. The ACC representative in the national championships coming out to Cal week one. Like maybe it is a Stein or a LaPoy. If I was to pick the newcomers, like if you had to pick one or you had to pick two, I think I'm betting on Summerall and Chesney.
Yes.
You're agreeing?
I think I'm agreeing with you.
You're not going to say Campbell or Franklin?
Well, I guess...
I guess newcomers.
I view them differently as newcomers because they're retread head coaches. Like, your other examples would be Stein.
Stein and LaPoy. Yeah.
That, the unique thing about Stein in Kentucky right now is he was never known as a good recruiter at Oregon. That wasn't his calling card. He was more of an X's and O's guy. And then being a good recruiter early, it's like, oh, okay.
Well, that's why staff is so important.
Right? And then LaPoy is the opposite. He was known as a recruiter, but not an X's and O's guy. So him recruiting isn't a surprise, but can you do it on an X's and O's basis?
He kept the quarterback, at least.
For all the issues that the sport has right now, which it certainly has a ton, and we've debated that, and what's the right look of a law, and what should we pass, and all of that, there does seem to be a more viable pathway. Like in the last 30 years,
how quickly you can turn into
something. Like how many programs went from not that to something like Oregon. This is Oregon's one of the great examples. If you've grown up and known them long enough, we remember Oregon in the 1990s when they were. Yeah, gangrene going to the Rose Bowl was a big deal, but that was such a big deal because they hadn't done it in nearly half a century.
Right.
And then Oregon was able to elevate themselves into a different conversation and compete for national championships and all that. It's a pretty rare thing in the sport. It's a blue blood club that's hard to break into. And Indiana absolutely shattered that last year. And now I think it gives other programs hope of like, man, if we get our ducks in a row, we get our money spent the right way, we hire the right coach, we have enough budget to pay our players, like we could enter this. There's no reason and there's no barrier that's going to keep us from joining that conversation.
I think that's why I really oppose the part of the legislation of the one-time transfer.
Yeah.
And I understand what you're saying of like you don't want guys that are jumping year to year. That certainly can happen. The one example I came up with in my head yesterday in football, like you have Bear Alexander's out there.
Yeah, he transferred a bunch.
Now, part of that is attitude and didn't fit in culturally for whatever reason. And Lanning they found some common ground there.
Right.
But like for every Bear Alexander you have, I think you get a Noah Whittington.
Yeah, a guy at Western Kentucky.
And then he comes in and he's there for three
seasons.
I'm going
to go to a bigger school
and get the opportunity. And the good schools will retain their top talent. And, yeah, you'll have the other guys that we don't really talk much about that might jump a couple times at most. But I think that's what I like about the sport, even if I don't know all of the names right away.
Yeah.
Dude, we love it enough that we watch, we learn pretty quickly. So that's why I'm opposed to the one-time transfer. I think it offers this opportunity. I don't know if Kentucky's going to be good or Cal or Florida or whoever, but the idea that programs that aren't good or relevant can take that leap.
You're not stuck in your
so
lot in life.
Yes. It's not, well, let's wait for Lupoy year four. It's like, no, it's kind of a, what's a year one?
Right.
And let's go into a pivotal year two.
It'll be interesting to see, man. Some new faces on the recruiting rankings for 2027. Long ways to go, but who can enter that conversation? A bunch of teams have a chance to do it this upcoming season. Something was done nearly 20 years ago that has not been done since. Will we ever see it again? I'll explain next on The Fan. We'll get to the magic hack coming up, top of the hour. It's only 32 minutes away, ladies and gentlemen. A new venue is coming to a sporting event. Of course it is. I'll explain that in a little bit.
Josh Hart had a great analytics quote I didn't get to.
What did he say about analytics?
I don't know what the question was. I only saw his answer, but he was asked about something, and he talked about analytics. And this one's a tough one because the analytics / basketball nerds, they love them some Jay Wright.
Yes.
Jay Wright is looked at as like a hero. Okay, Villanova plays good basketball. He won multiple titles, right?
Relevant, long time.
Great run.
Yeah.
Josh Hart, who played for Jay Wright last night, talked about analytics and said, and I'm paraphrasing, something to the effect of analytics are like the lamppost for people who are drunk. They're not your home. So he basically was like, shut up with your analytics. And it threw Cat off. Cat heard it was like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Did he just say
that? He's like, Jay said that when you were at school? And he just turned and goes, you didn't even go to school. And Cat was like, oh.
That's one of the most likable aspects of the Knicks is their relationship off the floor.
Dude, they're
the podcast clips of Brunson and Hart are hilarious.
Here it is. This is the exact quote. I should have pulled it. He said, on analytics, they're lampposts to a drunk person. You can lean on them, but it won't get you home.
Yeah. I think he's right.
So, yeah, efficiencies.
I think he's right.
Was Jalen Brunson efficient last night?
No.
No, he had 31 on 30 shots.
Yeah. But who scored 15 in the fourth quarter and got the job done when they needed to?
Yeah. Like, analytics, look, we use analytics in a lot of different ways. So, the analytics crowd's going to push back. Well, we actually put the 3-hit percentage of this guy in the quarter. And yeah, I know.
Isn't Brunson, analytically speaking, what percentage of his shots are threes?
Because
he doesn't get to the free throw line a ton. I was surprised when I looked that up in the regular season. He only averaged
more last night.
He should have got more. Well, that was my point because I saw he didn't shoot that many free throws, and I'm like, that's got to be rare for him. And I pulled up his regular season numbers, and I mean, he gets there some, but he's not an SGA Deddy Avdija type. He was at like 5 or 6 a game
this year. He shot 7 threes.
And how many field goals
of the 19? Basically 20 because it's 19.9 field goal attempts per game.
So 40-ish percent.
7.1 of them were threes.
Okay, so I guess analytically speaking, it feels like he takes a lot of shots.
He's a
that,
mini.
Yeah, that
he's
people
an elbow
would deem
mini guy.
Not a smart shot.
But see, I think that's...
But he's good at it.
Yeah, I hate to... Like, I don't mean to just dunk on the analytics. I'll flip it the other way. I do think a lot of people that love analytics have kind of swayed the other way.
That if you're good at hitting down, knocking 17-footers down, but not good at shooting threes, why wouldn't we want you to make the shot and not miss the shot?
Kevin Durant.
Right.
CJ McCollum.
Yeah, CJ was a guy like this.
Brunson. I think Sharp is kind of this, to be honest with you.
Not that they can't make threes. They all can.
But he's much more of a mid-range guy.
They're more efficient when they kind of get you on the move and you go in one direction and they can pull up and shoot.
Right.
It's different, yeah.
It's definitely different, but I loved that quote. It's a lamppost. You can lean on it, but it's not going to get you home.
I miss that guy, man. I miss that guy.
He was so likable here.
He was a fun blazer. He's a fun Nick. He's easy to root for. He's open. He's honest. I remember him when he was having his first kid talking about drinking his wife breast milk. He was like, anybody do that? I remember that going viral.
I remember talking about doing it. I tried
about that because of Josh Hart. So keep being the gift that delivers, Josh Hart. We love you.
Also got the final three finalists for the Blazer job.
Oh, we officially have the finalists?
According to Mark Stein.
Who are the finalists?
Mike Anori.
Okay.
Tyler Lashbrook.
Which one's he again?
Boston guy.
Okay.
Tiago?
No, he's not going to do it. They disrespected him too much.
Yeah, he's going to take a $1 million salary.
He's going to say no. He'd have to take a paid downgrade to be the head coach.
What happened to JVJ?
Yeah, I'm bummed
by
that.
Where's our boy?
I wanted Van Gundy so
bad. JVJ might be demanding too much. You know, like, hey, if I'm coming back, I'm going to need this. Yeah. And Tom's like,
look, I'm not Tommy Two Nickels, but you're asking for four nickels. I might go three.
How about three? That's all I got.
I mean, yeah, part of this is going to be cost.
Yeah.
Don't we know that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you go get Giannis, I don't really care who the coach is.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Because Giannis can help you win. It is funny watching the Knicks fire a coach for getting to the conference finals. Everybody's saying, what are you doing? Bringing in a coach who got fired in Sacramento, and now they're three wins away from a championship.
He shouldn't have been fired in Sacramento.
No, he should not have been. No, he should not have been. Interesting. I'm sure people will yell about that today.
Do you have a preference of those three?
I don't know enough about the assistants.
How do you not know anything about Tyler Lashbrook?
What's the matter with you?
Why don't you read up on Mike Inouye? His last name and my daughter's first name are the same.
Okay.
And his name's Micah.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's it?
I don't have enough to form an opinion. That's why I say.
Okay.
I'm not throwing out takes because I don't know.
Yeah, I had never heard of two of the three prior to 2 months ago.
I only knew Inouye because he's actually kind of a character, and I'll see sometimes the videos of practices or
him doing stuff on this. Yeah.
He does interviews sometimes for the Timberwolves.
Okay. Is he entertaining? Is he a good interview?
He's an interesting cat.
Okay.
Yeah,
then let me root for him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Over a Splitter?
Sure, why not?
Splitter's not going to take the job anyway.
No, he's out of the running.
He would never take this. You can't do this to the coaching community. In fact, no coach wants that job.
Beneath him.
It was literally told to my face, he'll never take it.
Yeah.
Too disrespectful. He only wants to pay $1 million. The coaching community is outraged, so much so, they might have to go the JUCO route.
I thought we were going to get the coach of St. Louis. What happened to that guy? Is he not a finalist?
We didn't
for the
offer
job?
Enough.
No. Oh,
we got outbid by mighty St. Louis.
More. He's too rich for our blood.
Making more for the Billikens.
The fighting Rick Majerises.
Yeah, if you got a hot take on any of this, I will just simply point you back to the roster. The roster matters much more. Yeah. A couple of baseball nuggies to throw at you. Can Shohei Ohtani be stopped?
Nope. No.
He's the greatest baseball player to live.
Is it over?
Yeah,
it's over.
Well, I don't know about them winning the World Series.
But him in the debate of greatest player of all time.
Somebody's got a really red hot team.
You do.
The Phillies are 23-10 since they fired their manager. They've gained one game on my team.
That's pretty remarkable.
We're 22-11. We just took the series from the Blue Jays yesterday. You know, we got a pivotal Giants series coming up in a couple.
Don't worry, it'll go well for you.
Fingers crossed. The Mariner one didn't.
Although Logan Webb almost threw a perfect game last night. I had no clue what was going on because I'm not watching.
Ohtani is, we do it too much in basketball. We get caught up in argument. Football is a little different. I'll comfortably tell you, he is the greatest baseball player my eyes have ever seen.
His ERA through 10 starts is the third best since 1913.
It's 0.9.
His ERA is 0.74.
Yeah. Thank you.
Currently.
It went down.
Second best is Juan Marichal in 1996, 0.59. The greatest of all time is Jacob DeGrom in 2021, had a 0.56 ERA through 10 starts.
Yeah.
So since 1913, this is the third best start we've ever seen a pitcher get off to in terms of giving up runs. He's also, by the way, batting 300 and it's an OPS
940.
9, whatever, stupid nerd
Do you
numbers.
Think it's over? Do you think they won again?
Yeah, I do think it's over, and
I feel last year gave you hope.
It gave me hope, and then my hope was crumbled because a guy that shouldn't have hit a home run in Game 7 of the World Series.
Andy Pies.
That swag didn't even know
he
hit the home run.
He's actually a good player now.
No,
he?
It wasn't Andy Pies.
No, it was Miguel Rojas.
Rojas. Football is life.
Well, it was for swag.
It was that night. Yes. Football was life.
Well, Pajes is tearing it up. He started out the season
having a good year.
Hitting eight,
I mean, he'll watch the regular season games.
And now he's a cleanup guy.
Pajes had the walk-off dribbler was it the Phillies?
To the pitcher, right?
Threw up all over themselves. Yes. And then Lauren Shahadi's like, what did you think during that last at-bat? He was like, just put the bat on the ball.
I mean, I barely made contact, and they really screwed up, and I ended up winning us the game. It was pretty remarkable. So he did Shohei Ohtani things. He is the greatest player of all time. There's not really a debate anymore.
Did the Mariners win last night?
They
got housed 7-0.
Mets got them?
Mets got them in getaway
day. Win streak
day.
Snapped, huh?
The thing I wanted to bring up, though, that I found interesting, on this day, something happened. 17 years ago, and it has not happened since then.
17 years ago?
Baseball! I really hope my math is right.
09? That would be 09.
Yes, 2009.
Ooh,
thank
Ryan
you.
Ryan Howard.
No. Mm. It is the last time
Jimmy Rollins
we saw a starting pitcher reach 300 wins. On this
Doc
day.
Doc Holliday?
No. Do you know the pitcher?
Randy?
Randy Johnson. Yeah. On this day. I remember watching the game because he was randomly in a Giants jersey in the last year of his career. They were playing in D.C. It was a rainy, cold day. Mm. There was like 482 people there,
yeah.
And he got his 300th career win. Nobody has done that since 2009.
And nobody's really close, right?
The active leader in wins is Justin Verlander, who was 43 years old, mind you.
Yeah, this is it for him.
He has 266.
Yeah.
What Scherzer
34 at? Wins.
Because he's about done, too.
Well, Clayton Kershaw just retired.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, this one doesn't make any sense to me. Clayton Kershaw pitched for 18 years.
Yeah.
He was essentially there's some nicks and bruises here and there. For the most part, healthy. The majority
Didn't
of his career.
Did he only have, like, 215 wins?
223.
Yeah.
Well,
in an 18-year career.
Yeah, but how many years? Because those Dodger teams weren't always the most loaded
back
then.
No, he was
then.
There in the McCourt years when
so
they were
So a lot of
no-decision
wins or losses at, like, 2-1.
He would have. Yeah. He had a lot of no-decisions where he'd be in a 1-1 game and he'd come out in the sixth and then the bullpen
he had a little
implode.
Bit of the what's the Mariner pitcher? That
Felix.
Felix. He had a little bit of the Felix luck there for a while, and then they turned it around, sold the team, and they won. The thing about that stat is, like, the much like the home runs hit, do you think we morph the Hall of Fame standards of pitchers?
Have to. By the way, Scherzer's at 222.
Yeah, okay.
So he's
so
not,
what's
he's
the
41
new number
years old.
Then? Is it 210? Is it 200?
Like, I think it's 200.
200 wins?
I think when you're looking at this generation, the longevity of the pitchers, like 300 was a pretty rare accomplishment.
Right.
There are 24 total pitchers in the history of the sport who've gotten to 300 career wins.
And
so
few of them were like in the early 19, like Walter Johnson and Cy Young.
Dude, Cy Young won 511 games. Like, get out of here. Grover Alexander.
Exactly.
Like, nobody cares. 200, though, I think is a good benchmark.
I think it's going to weight more onto your career-long ERA and maybe strikeout rate, those sorts of things, as opposed to...
Yeah.
With the invention of... Because it used to be, that was the whole thing was, you know, how long could you start? How many innings did you throw as a starter? That
how many
was
could
indicative.
You eat up?
And that doesn't matter. I mean, you get to the fifth or sixth, and they're looking to lift you.
Which 33 and 29 team you buy in, the White Sox or the Pirates?
Pirates.
Really? The White Sox are only
the
two
White
back
Sox
of their
are
division.
In a more winnable
I know.
Division.
They're in a much more winnable division, but Skeens is so good that I just have to – there's something there with him.
We play them, I think,
How
next.
How long is Murakami? Is that who
– He keeps hitting all the dingers.
White Sox?
Yeah. Is he still on the shelf? He got dinged up.
Are you asking us?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking,
Chicago White Sox dirt, if a outfielder for them is on the IL.
Well, he happened to be leading the league in
no
home runs.
No disrespect to my co-host. Just call him baseball dirt. His team blows.
I have fully checked out a baseball season.
I
can't tell you the last time I watched
minutes.
a baseball game outside of college.
I don't blame you for that. It's tough to watch baseball teams when your team sucks, man. It's just not motivating.
I'm not watching a Giants game the rest of the year.
Especially when the weather starts getting good.
Yeah,
you're like,
dude.
Oh, are we going to go to the beach? Like,
I got hockey games and NBA playoff games every night for the last 2 months.
It's glorious.
Mixing with golf tournaments here or there.
College football having random
not
new media
happening.
Days. Yeah, we got all this kind of new stuff popping up.
Oh, Murakami got a PRP injection.
Okay, there you go.
I did see that Chicago Cubs, because they've kind of hit the skids a little bit. They're starting to kind of go against Pete Crow Armstrong.
Yeah, they're turning on him. He got into a shoddy match with a fan.
Yeah,
it's been
very
a
interesting development over there because I thought
he
was like
hot.
A hero.
Yeah,
and now because they're sucking, they're starting to take it out on him.
Yeah, they
and
had like two 10-game winning streaks early in the season, and then they had a 10-game losing streak.
They're sinking like a stone. Wild how baseball season can turn so rapidly like that. Any hoosies, Ohtani is great. They have not won 300 games. We have not seen a pitcher do that since 2009. I don't think we'll ever see it happen again in our lifetimes. I don't think anybody will get there. It's just, if you're looking at some of the best from this generation that barely struggled to get to 200, nobody's getting to 300. So that won't happen anymore. Maybe we change to your point.
I say this not knowing. Outside of Ohtani, I would guess my guy Olson, but who else in the NL can win the MVP?
Let baseball dirt answer that question.
Well, Matt Olson's having a phenomenal MVP.
He's having
season.
A great year. He's not going to win the MVP if Shohei Ohtani stays healthy.
Probably
though.
Not. Not with those numbers.
You got to do it on both sides now, and that's what old Ohtani does, man. Pitching
only
and hitting.
One guy can do that on both sides.
Well, until my guy, Milwaukee and Eugene Oregon.
Junior.
I'm a college baseball guy now.
We'll talk some college
that's
baseball
what they
tomorrow
call me
with
now.
Colin Wilson.
College baseball guy.
College baseball dirt.
We're changing the location of a game, and what does it mean? I'll explain next on The Fam. All right, a couple of odds and ends before I get to the changed location of a game that made me chuckle. Some in the National Football League, some in the NBA. You ready for this? I'm going to throw a hodgepodge at you. We'll get to the Magic Act coming up top of the hour. Christian Watson and the Green Bay Packers have agreed to an extension this morning. 4 years, $110 million.
I like that deal. I like him. When he's healthy, he's a good player.
Yeah, dude, $31 million signing bonus. So, you know, I don't know how much of it is fully guaranteed. We don't have all the details out about it. You hope that he's going to stay healthy. That's been one of the things that, you know, I don't know where to rank Jordan Love in the pantheon of NFL quarterbacks. It is one of the arguments that I will make that is pro-Jordan Love when you compare his weapons, if you will, to some of the other guys that quarterbacks have to work with. It, you know, Watson has had moments, but he's had, you got to stay healthy. He dealt with some drops early in his career. Mm-hmm. Like he was a, you know, a kind of no-name rookie out of North Dakota State.
Yeah.
So he has, it's not like he's got a, you know, Jamar Chase on the outside that he's throwing the ball to or Justin Jefferson. But Watson, I think, has the potential to be really good. So, hey, 4 years, $110 million, $31 million signing bonus. You got some money to spend. Their bigger fish is probably still, is your running back going to be in prison?
That's certainly a big story that is looming for them. They're an interesting team. I know we talked about them earlier with Micah Parsons. It's not an impossibility, to your point, the NFC being kind of what it is outside of a couple teams. I just have felt a certain way about LaFleur for a while.
Yeah, you're not a LaFleur guy.
I'm not a LaFleur guy, and it feels like this is the year, like, dude, you do it, and if you don't do it, bon voyage.
He got an extension, remember?
But
they
wasn't
didn't
it
wanna,
only like a two-year extension?
Yeah, they have an old organizational thing of like, we don't want coaches on 1 year deal or whatever.
They can buy themselves out of a two-year extension problem.
Yeah,
how do you sell to the fan base? Who, by the way, is this loyal fan
base? What's enough
to
keep his job?
I think NFC Championship game. So, I think that should be the requirement. How many years with Prime Rodgers, MVP Rodgers, and now everybody telling me before he'd played as a really regular season starter, they had a top five quarterback, top three quarterback. We still walking that one back? Are we still considering Jordan Love top three quarterback? Like all this kind of hyperbolic stuff.
Right.
How many seasons is it going to take?
It's a fair question.
Do we need more evidence? What evidence are we waiting for here?
It's a tough one because the NFL is so unique in that angle of like, if they had the lead against the 49ers 2 years ago, they blew it.
Yep.
And what it could have, should have, right? But like, you're clearly close enough to do it. You're clearly in the mix to do it. Last year was the Chicago game. They didn't have their best defensive player on the field, but they had a lead late in the game against Chicago and they let it slip.
Didn't he kick a field goal to go down five?
He did famously
instead
do
of
that,
going
yes.
for it when you're down eight.
In the Rodgers, Brady, NFC Championship game.
And there was nobody
COVID.
In the stadium, too. Yes. So nobody would have.
Nobody could boot him.
Nobody could have booed you.
Boot him. I think they ended up putting like staffers in the stadium or something. I think they ended up letting
they weren't putting
one per section or
them.
Something like that. You couldn't even hear them. There were so few people there.
I just remember Scotty Miller catching that touchdown and then like how bizarre the Lambeau leap area looked with nobody there.
Just empty seats.
And maybe I'm misremembering because COVID broke my brain, but.
Right.
I don't know, man. I'm just never really been much of a LaFleur guy. I'm not big on anointing guys that don't do it or don't sustain doing it.
And that, I guess, would be the question of has he not sustained it?
I mean, what's he sustained?
Going to the playoffs every year.
Not with Rodgers, he didn't. They choked the last game of the year and lost to the Lions.
That is true.
Sunday Night Football. What many said was the lesser team.
If you could have missing the playoffs 1 year, like every coach misses the playoffs 1 year.
Right, but you didn't remember that year. Is there another year you're not remembering that I'm not remembering?
Let me pull it up.
When a team faces, like take the Cowboy game last year.
Yeah.
I thought they should have beaten the Cowboys.
They should have beaten the Cowboys.
They actively played for a tie.
They did do that.
They didn't like accidentally tie. They didn't they kicked a field goal to tie the game to at least not lose it.
They did do that.
They actively milked the clock to play for a tie.
Let's see here. How many years has he been the head coach now? So he took over in 2019.
Okay.
Here are the seasons since he took over.
Yep.
13-3, NFC Championship game loss to the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
13-3 NFC Championship game to the Bucks.
That Niner game, was that a home game?
The Niner game? No, that was the one the Niners killed him at.
Oh, that's right. That was the pass game, right?
They didn't throw the football, they ran it for 500 yards.
I mean, that's kind of troubling. A team actively telling you, we're not going to throw the football. We don't need to.
But let's put it all on Rodgers. 2021, they had a great year. They were the number one seed, got a bye, and that was the game they lost in the snow at home to the 49ers, 13-10 on the last second field goal. Rodgers won the MVP that year.
Yeah.
2022 was the year that they missed the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And he has been in every year of the year since.
Yeah.
So they went
with a divisional appearance, wild card.
Yep. So and since 2019, so that's where that's the only thing I'll push back on. Like, I don't know if he's good enough to win a Super Bowl or not.
But they fired Mike McCarthy for those results.
They did. You're not wrong there. He didn't make the playoffs back-to-back years. His last 2 years there, they went 7-9 and 6-9.
Yeah, no,
and
so it fizzled,
that's two
for
below
sure.
500 seasons, and he's never finished below 500. Actually, no, 8-9. 1 year he was below 500.
My whole point is, like, it wasn't becoming good enough. And, yes, fizzling out and not making is much different than losing it. And I'd always want to be in the dance. My whole point is, like,
that's the hard part I have with
he
it
wasn't
is,
getting like, over the hump. They fired him. It fizzled at the end, sure. But, like, that's part of the reason.
Yeah.
You had Rodgers. You weren't winning. You weren't getting to the Super Bowl. After the certain point, and like
Rodgers got the majority of the flack for the last one that they lost, that Niner playoff game. I remember he was pretty bad in that game in the snow, missed a lot of open guys, that kind of stuff. The first one that they lost in San Francisco was just they couldn't stop him, nosebleed to save their life.
Jimmy
the Niners
G, what did he throw 10
over.
Passes in that game or
it
something?
It was embarrassingly
and
low.
And then back to back playoff games in that run, where
the
they
Minnesota
barely,
they beat at home, and then the Packers they beat at home on their way to lose the Super Bowl, and they didn't throw the football essentially.
I guess how
all.
Many coaches in the NFL?
This is my follow up though to you. We're going to get sidetracked on this. That's okay.
We already have.
Yeah. How many coaches in the NFL do you feel like there's a different result in the last 3 years with Green Bay?
I mean, last year, Ben Johnson had a different result. So if Ben Johnson's flipped, I don't think he's choking away the game.
Okay. So you think Green Bay wins the game if Ben Johnson is their coach?
McVay.
Okay.
Shanahan, Reed. Sirianni. Do we have a lot of evidence of Sirianni blowing?
Sirianni's unique because there's a lot of highs and a lot of lows.
No, I know there's
Sirianni.
Lows. I'm not trying to tell you that he's not better than Sirianni.
But he's got a ring, so he's, you know.
Part of that, yeah, you get cemented
with it. He's
been
to two and he's got one ring.
I think with him, it's more so like.
This is just my point, though, of like if you're going to fire him, I don't disagree with the notion of like if you lose in the playoffs, maybe it should be time to move on. They contemplated it last offseason. It's just the idea of there's not a. I have a hard time with him in Green Bay because I think Love is good. I have never felt like Love is a top three quarterback in the NFL.
Sure.
It was ludicrous that we put him into conversations after 1 year.
It wasn't us, but
no,
yes,
the general NFL fan. And we did it with Hurts. We're going to do it with Caleb Williams this offseason. We've done it with CJ Stroud. We've done it with Jaden Daniels. Like,
and with Herbert.
We immediately rush to crown these guys something that they're not.
Drake
and then
May
we
now.
And then we turn it into a criticism of them.
I know.
When they're not that, when they never were that.
Right.
And so they have not had elite weapons on the outside. They have not. I don't think they have a top five. That's the hard
part.
How many
years did he have Devontae Adams?
I mean, the last 2 years there, it was Devontae Adams and Rodgers. So
it's pretty good.
I mean, yeah, it's 3 years there, and they went to two NFC title or one NFC title game.
Yeah, I know.
That's since then. Who has their best wide receiver been?
I mean,
Romeo Doubs.
Probably Watson. When Watson's healthy, Watson's their best receiver.
And he's good.
Yeah. Romeo Doubs is now, what, a Patriot?
I think so. Is that where
I guess we just differ on LaFleur then. You like LaFleur, and I'm not saying he's the worst coach. I've always find interesting when teams like this are constantly put in the conversation and they're not really all that close. Mm. Like losing in the wild card multiple years after telling me how great the quarterback coach combo is.
Right.
And then I got regular season games of evidence of this. I just,
yeah.
I don't know. I think they contemplated doing it. They just
decided
not to.
Oh, they for sure contemplated doing it last offseason.
They gave him
there's no doubt about that.
A low-end extension, and I think if they don't make the NFC title game, I wouldn't be shocked if next year they fire him.
He's got a good head of hair, though, man. He's got a good head of hair. I didn't get to my other stuff there. We'll get to that at some point in the final hour. The Magic Hat will kick things off, though, to start the 9 a.m. hour next, 105.1 FM, The Fam.